9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring today. Robert Half is here to help. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
This is Barron's Live. Each weekday, we bring you live conversations from our newsrooms about what's moving the market right now. On this podcast, we take you inside those conversations, the stories, the ideas, and the stocks to watch so you can invest smarter. Now, let's dial in.
Hi, everyone. I'm Becky Strum, Managing Editor at Mansion Global, and I'm joined today by Catherine Scarborough, Luxury Real Estate Advisor and Licensed Partner at Engel & Völkers Austin. Welcome, Catherine.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. I'm very excited to have somebody from the Southwest on the show, because if you've been watching or listening to these regularly, you know that we've been stuck to the coasts pretty much for the whole pandemic. We've done Palm Beach, New York, California. So this is our first Texas guest, and we're super excited because there is plenty of stuff happening outside of the coasts, especially in the Rockies and in the Southwest and the Sun Belt at large. So anyways, to get right into it, Catherine, could you give us a sense of how long you've been working in Austin and your geographic footprint there?
Yes. So I am from Austin. I've left a few times for college, but I found myself always back. My family's, I'm a fifth generation, and I've been in real estate for about 20 years. So my roots in Austin go way back to the late 1800s, when my great-great-great-grandfather was mayor of Austin. And Lake Austin used to be called Lake McDonald after my family. So, long lasting roots and in this beautiful city.
That's amazing. Wow. So, you know everything about Austin, I'm sure. So, when we talk about the Austin luxury real estate market, so obviously we're all coming from different perspectives on what luxury is exactly. And here in New York, for example, the price point we would say starts around $4 million. And for others, maybe that starts at $1 million. So in Austin, where would you say the luxury market falls?
According to, you know, MLS statistics, in February, the average price point in the luxury market was about $1.7 million. Okay. And, you know, our average home price has gone up 22.5%. just over the last few months, up to 395,000. So we have definitely seen a jump. And then with low inventory, it has not helped.
Wow. Tell us a little bit about the typical luxury home in Austin. Here in New York, you might say a condo, but I am absolutely sure the typical luxury home in Austin is probably single family. So walk us through a little bit about where those homes would be, what neighborhoods, and what sort of the typical home looks like that's in that $1.7 to $5 million range, say?
Well, there's several different areas of town. Austin, geographically, it's not very large. We are bordered by lakes, and so it makes the drive time a little bit more challenging because you have to cross over the river. So we're kind of sprawled out in that sense. So Westlake is an area of town that I work a lot in. And luxury in Westlake is probably going to start around $2 million. There's great places like Spanish Oaks and Barton Creek, all very close to town. And it's funny, I had clients in yesterday that said, everything's just 20 minutes. Every time we ask you, it's 20 minutes. So, you know, right now with COVID, I suppose traffic's not as bad. But relatively speaking, I think you can get around town pretty quickly. So that's what makes a lot of our luxury neighborhoods very accessible. And it also has a lot to do with our school districts. Being, you know, differently ranked. Westlake's, you know, Eanes School District is ranked top in the nation, and so is Lake Travis. So that makes it very appealing to the luxury home buyer.
Right. It seems like a week doesn't go by that there's another report talking about Austin, or where Austin tops the list of some sort of price appreciation over the past year. I guess what, you know, but to step back, what did it look like a year ago when we were all sort of going into some level of lockdown? Was there ever a moment where you were worried about the Austin market?
You know, I think basically, and if I can remember, last March, right when the lockdown happened, I really think we saw a slowdown for about 30 to 45 days. Mm-hmm. And a lot of my clients were asking, what are we going to do? Should we lease our houses? Should we take them off the market? And then I think we really stopped working for maybe a month and a half. And then the market just picked right back up. We were doing a lot of FaceTime walkthroughs, a lot of buyers buying houses sight unseen. And it really changed our whole market and how we used to do business. We had to get a little bit more creative with how we did property showings. But for the most part, I really think we slowed down for about 45 days. And then it's been nonstop since.
Actually, that's a good pivot. What kinds of protocols and changes had to happen in the Austin market? I feel like everywhere is doing it a little bit different. And I wrote very early on about COVID clauses being included into contracts mm-hmm. and things like that. What are some of the sort of changes that you guys have had to make to adapt to the market?
Well, we did early on. It's kind of subsided now, but we had COVID forms that needed to be signed. Owners were not allowed to be in the homes. Realtors or brokers would have to stand outside and just leave the doors open. Mm-hmm. Buyers weren't allowed to touch many things. And if they did, we had to let, the owners know what was touched, and we would, go in and sanitize. It made our job a little bit more challenging from that aspect, but it also really brought the community together in so many ways. It was a really neat thing to experience, neighbors helping neighbors. And, it was a heartfelt moment for the first 6 months, I'd say, in the pandemic. And I know, talking to a lot of my clients, that it's been different in their markets and they've really been locked down. Felt very fortunate in Texas. We have not seen as much of that as other markets have.
Well, to sort of segue into that, the rush to Austin started well before COVID. And I wonder what sort of prompted, in your mind or from what you know about the market, what prompted this boom in home sales and this migration to your area?
Of course, I think Austin's fabulous, being here and really haven't left. But, I think that, we were a kept secret for a while. We were a small town with a big town mentality. It's just a wonderful place to live and raise a family. The quality of life, I think, is a lot that attracts people. We're an outdoor city. We're vibrant. We're a young city, with the University of Texas here. So I think there's a lot of wonderful things that attract people. We have a great food scene, which has really prospered over the last decade. Our downtown skyline has changed. We're not the crane city, but we sure look like it a lot with all the cranes downtown. I've seen clients migrate from the West Coast and the East Coast for probably the last 10 years or so. And I think a lot of them can work anywhere. And the quality of life is what brings them here. And I do think that, we're sweet in the South. And it's it's just a sense of family and a sense of community. And, people are pretty laid back and welcoming. Yeah. And I think that's what's so wonderful about Austin.
You've sort of answered this, but I'm wondering where people are coming from. Where are the places where you're seeing a lot of luxury buyers relocating from?
Mostly the West Coast. We still have quite a few New Yorkers. San Francisco Bay Area, San Diego, Los Angeles. We've seen some from Chicago. We've seen some from Idaho, but mostly the East and the West Coast.
For those people coming out of state, are they changing what luxury buyers want from a home? I guess, what are they looking for, both in terms of price range? So these out-of-towners in the luxury market, what's their sort of price range? And also, are their tastes different? Are they looking for a particular style of home?
There for a while, with a lot of our West Coast buyers, they were wanting a lot more contemporary architecture. We didn't have a lot of that 10 years ago. We do now. And now we're seeing a lot more people from New York that want more of the traditional home, a traditional floor plan, larger homes. You know, I think home took on a whole different meaning during COVID. And yeah. That's one thing that Texas afforded people was space. And it didn't matter how close you lived to downtown. It mattered what rooms you had in your house. It mattered, you know, if you had two offices or, you know, if you could go outside and actually, you know, take a breather and have space from your neighbors, a place for your kids to homeschool. So I think right. home took on a complete different meaning in that aspect. And I think that, that's changed what a lot of the buyers have been looking for recently. But as far as like size and price point, you know, I'd say we're having buyers, the feeding frenzy is really from $1 million to $3 million in the Westlake area. But, you know, we have homes in Austin up to $45 million. And there's a big appeal to our waterfront. And we've seen a dramatic incline in waterfront buyers and price points in Austin.
Speaking of which, you were recently involved in one of the most expensive sales ever in Austin. I wonder what you can tell us about that sale and tell us a little bit about that sale and what made that particular home a record breaker? Why did it command such a high price?
You know, Willow Beach, which was the name of the estate that I sold, one of those iconic properties. You know, if you've been on the water, you know it. You know where it is. You know what it looks like. Everybody knows it. Just because, not that it is ostentatious by any means, but because it's so unique and it's such a beautiful piece of land. You know, there's not a whole lot of large intact parcels left on Lake Austin, so close to downtown. And this one was truly unique because it was almost on 9 acres, and it had 675 feet of main body frontage, and it was bordered by 3 sides of water. So it was essentially an island connected by a bridge to the guest house. It was just truly unique. It was one of a kind.
Great. That's amazing. Was that buyer from out of state?
Yes, they were. And of course I'm under a confidentiality agreement, so I can't talk much about it, but, it was listed for $38.9 million. And it was the highest sale. So we're real excited about it. And it definitely was a property that commanded a price like that. It was justified. And congratulations to the new owner because it's fabulous.
That's amazing. So I guess, you know, on the other hand, price appreciation can be a concern for local buyers, especially if you have people coming with much larger budgets coming into the market. So I wonder if there's been some concern among local buyers and if they're having trouble affording homes, even at the luxury segment.
You know, there are concerns, and we have seen a huge change in the market being the lack of inventory. We're running on about a 12-day supply of inventory. This time last year, we had about a month and a half, and historically, it's, I think, about 3-month inventory, about a 90-day supply. So it's very competitive. It is a feeding frenzy. I think what I tell a lot of my clients is you really need to be prepared, you know, a month or so out. Make sure you talk to your lender. You know what you can afford, and do the things to increase your buying capability, because we are seeing a tremendous amount of cash offers, and that's hard to compete with. We're seeing people waive appraisals. We're seeing houses go for hundreds of thousands of dollars over asking at a middle market price point. There was one, for instance, not too long ago, it was about $550,000. It had like 32 offers on it, and it went for several hundred thousand over asking. And that's unheard of. You know, waiving appraisals, we're seeing people waive their option periods and waiving their inspections. So it's just extremely competitive. So I'd say, you know, I'm telling a lot of my clients, let's be prepared, know what you're looking for, and kind of having to adjust areas as well and what amenities they're really looking for, because it's so competitive right now.
I think we wrote a story this week. It was a piece of Redfin research that said the average home in Austin is now selling for 7% above asking price, which is crazy. That means that most homes are facing bidding wars. Probably every home that you are dealing with faces bidding war of some kind. Yeah.
Well, and exactly. And, you know, historically, Austin's been relatively safe as far as affordability. And we haven't seen huge spikes like the West Coast and the East Coast have. So our normal appreciation is 7 to 10% a year. So when you start seeing people paying that, over asking, you know, we'll see. Yeah.
So, you know, with that in mind, do you see some neighborhoods or areas in Austin as sort of up and coming luxury neighborhoods, places that have seen where maybe someone that couldn't afford in Westlake, they're moving, they're looking in a different neighborhood? What are some of these areas that you see sort of turning into million-dollar markets?
We're seeing a lot of expansion out 71 headed west, and it's 78738. That was actually the most rapid growth in the last 90 days or 120 days, I think, in the whole MLS area. You know, there's not a whole lot of land left so close to town. So we are seeing a lot of expansion out that 71 corridor and new construction, and seeing a lot of demand out that way.
You mentioned that you're seeing a lot of all cash buyers, and I imagine they have the upper hand in Austin. Sort of a different, you know, take on that is, are you also seeing a lot of sight unseen offers, and are sellers happy to take sight unseen offers?
Yes, we are. But we're also seeing a lot of those houses pop back on the market too. So, you know, you'll see some go under contract really quickly. And I think that that's a lot about that buying frenzy. And they just feel like they have to get something. And then when they actually get here to see it, it's not what they expected. And then they're terminating. So, you know, why before when a house would come back on the market, somebody would think, oh, well, there must be something wrong with it. Or, you know, there was something with the inspection. But that's not the case anymore. I think you have buyer's remorse setting in a little bit more quickly in this type of climate because of the feeding frenzy. So, you know, we're seeing houses go under contract really quickly. We're seeing them pop back on the market. Now they're going back under contract really quickly. So don't be scared about that. But it's not your traditional ebb and flow within a market.
It's interesting. What kind of advice, you mentioned the kind of advice you're giving buyers about, being sure you've locked in like a mortgage, for example, and you know what you can afford, but what are you telling sellers? What kind of advice do you give sellers? And would you tell somebody to get into this market because it's such a feeding frenzy?
You know, that's a hard question. That's a hard question to answer because, you know, a year ago, our prices were going up, and 6 months ago, our prices were going up. Now we've seen 22.5% increase in, you know, the medium home, the house value. So I don't know where it's going to end. I don't know. I do think that COVID sent us into a little frenzy. I also think our recent snowstorm did not help our inventory levels. You know, people that had homes that were affected and had to move out for renovations, they're buying up inventory too. So not only are we having people moving, we're having local buyers doing interim moves and buying up inventory. So that's even increased the demand more. So, you know, I don't know if to sit back and wait's the right thing, because those who sat back and didn't buy a year ago are kicking themselves because they wish they did. Because I can honestly say in the last 3 months, the market's just kind of exploded.
We have a ton of questions from listeners. I'm so glad we did a segment on Austin because there seems to be a lot of interest in it. So a relatively easy question, I imagine, what are the best school districts in Austin? And can you talk about the housing market in those areas?
We have a lot of fabulous schools. You know, Lake Travis is ranked very high. Eanes Independent School District is ranked, I think, in the top five in the nation. So very strong. We've got great schools within the Austin Independent School District as well. It really just depends on what, you know, what your child needs and what their interests are, whether it's more educational based or athletic athletically inclined children. So, you know, there's a perfect fit, but I can say that our education system is very strong. And not to mention, we've got fabulous private schools. And from what I've heard, they are more affordable than some of the schools on the East and the West Coast. So again, that affordability factor comes up, but yeah, very strong academically.
So we spoke just briefly before we started about rentals, and as expected, somebody's asking about rentals, but with a little bit of a spin here, what do you think about University of Texas Austin student housing, and is it a good time potentially to invest near the university?
Absolutely, it is. You know, there's a lot of new buildings that are going up. The dorms and the housing accommodations are a lot better now than they were when I was in school. So there's a lot more options out there. I think we had like two and they were not great. So yes, and some of the older buildings are being redone. I see investors coming in and buying those. The location, not only is it great for student housing, but for young professionals, we've got, you know, the teaching hospital now downtown. So it's a great place to invest.
And do you see a lot of young families stay for the long term in Austin, or do you feel that there's some rotation out of young people coming in and then leaving again?
Meaning like college kids graduating?
I guess a little bit older than that, but like young professionals with their families.
For the most part, I think they stay. And that's been another problem with our housing supply, because nobody's really leaving. They're only leaving if they get a job transfer or you know, something of that nature, or their kids are you know, out of the house and they're looking to downsize. We're not seeing a lot of people leave, and so nobody wants to sell, because then where are they going to go? You know, the prices have increased so much that you sell high but you buy high. So those that don't want to leave aren't selling.
Somebody is asking where Matthew McConaughey lives. I'm not going to ask you that. do you know what the condo market is like in Austin? I imagine that's centered around downtown.
Yes, it is. And you know, the average price point in our condo, and we have a lot of condos going up, and there's a large range as far as amenities in condo buildings. So when I say average price per foot, it's going to be, I can give you a range, but it's about $800 or so, $850 a foot. And we've seen it go all the way up to $1,500, $1,600 a foot, depending on the building, amenities, and finish out. But our supply downtown is very low too. So a lot of growth. And there's different areas as far as downtown. If you want to be more in a young, you know, nightlife type of area, if you want a little bit more quiet and more of that high rise, not that mid rise living. So there's a lot of options for people looking to live downtown.
So there's a question here, and if this is outside your purview, that's fine. But there's a question about whether demand is spilling over to other cities in the general area. So to San Antonio, for example, are you familiar with how sort of your neighboring cities are doing and whether they're sort of getting some spillover from Austin?
Well, absolutely. And we actually own an office in San Antonio, and we're seeing a lot of migration to San Antonio as Austin becomes less affordable. You know, there's been a lot of talk over the last decade probably about Austin and San Antonio almost growing together through New Braunfels and San Marcos, because there's, you know, New Braunfels, San Marcos, and then you have San Antonio. So, you know, as the crow flies, that kind of makes sense. For us to grow that way. But San Antonio is more affordable. It has a lot of the same topography as Austin. You know, it's a different type of vibe in a city. But we're seeing a lot of people migrate that way. And also into like Green and Bernie and more of the hill country areas that surround San Antonio have really seen an uptick. And there's some great opportunities in those areas.
So I imagine the vast majority of buyers in your area are domestic, but have you seen an increase in international interest in the luxury market in Austin?
Yeah, we have, especially with F1. We are becoming more of an international city. We have international flights that are direct. Right. So that, and, you know, I say that laughingly just because, you know, Austin's wanted to seem like a big city for so long, and we really haven't had an international airport. And now we do. So, you know, we have direct flights to Hamburg and direct flights to London. So, you know, we are starting to see that international buyer, seeing a lot of international investors coming in, both in commercial and residential. But a lot of things have put us on the map. So,
do you see things starting to cool down? I know you said you don't want to make any predictions, but do you see things cooling down eventually? Are we sort of in a bubble, in a price bubble at the moment that will sort of deflate over the next few years, or do you foresee this kind of sort of rapid price appreciation lasting for some time?
You know, I get asked that question quite a bit, and you know, I don't know. I know that the way that things are going, we can't contain we can't continue at this level because we just don't have the supply. Right. So I think that is going to increase prices. I mean, just that's what happens historically. But I think as long as we still are a wonderful place to live and we have a lot of things that are attractive, you know, income tax is a huge thing. So people find, you know, especially moving from the West and the East Coast, it's a lot more affordable to live here, even though our home prices seem to be going up. And I don't know if anybody thought the prices on the West Coast were going to do what they did, and they kept going up. So, you know, I really don't know. But I hope that it kind of levels out a little bit so we can catch up.
I guess, so something you mentioned before that the kinds of amenities people are looking for, is there anything right now that is sort of the hot ticket item that everybody is wanting and that really makes a property stand out compared to another? I know that like everyone in Greenwich, Connecticut right now is putting a pool in because everyone wants those extra recreational amenities. So in the Austin market, I guess, what are some of the very in-demand amenities at the moment?
I think a lot of space. People want space. They want usable yards. They want views or a breeze. It does get hot here in August, so I think that's something that you want. Most all the homes do have pools if you have room for a pool. And, you know, good schools. I think that a lot of that it just matters so much more. And especially with families having to do online versus in person, you know, a lot of the Texas schools did go back to in person and a lot of the private schools for sure. And we saw a huge uptick at my children's school because we were back in person early on. And we had a lot of families that really felt that need for their children to be in person for that socialization aspect, and we saw our attendance levels or new acceptance rates really skyrocket.
We have one more question from the audience, and it, Austin is known for the food truck scene and laid-back lifestyle. Do you see, I'm going to ask this in the inverse, but do you see that with the pickup in luxury housing, there'll be a pickup in sort of luxury lifestyles in Austin? I'm not sure exactly what that would entail, but do you see sort of a more a growing luxury space there?
You know, that's two ways to answer that. You know, I hope Austin stays Austin. I love food trucks. I love what makes this town so unique. I love that you could walk into a Tex-Mex restaurant and sit next to Michael Dell, and he is in wakeboard shorts and flip-flops. I love that nobody really cares if Matthew McConaughey is sitting next to you at a restaurant. You know, not that they don't think it's neat, but it is laid back. And I think that's one of the big appeals to this city, is the quality of life, meaning that people are just people. Everybody puts their, you know, pants on the same way every morning, or their boots, or whatever the saying is. So, you know, I hope Austin stays uniquely weird, and we don't lose that aspect of our city, because that's what I think makes it so neat. But on the flip side of that, I do think that we are seeing more luxury brands moving in. Shopping has gotten better. So we do have things like that, but it's still, even though they're here, it's still with an Austin twist, if that makes sense. It's not like Park Avenue. It's not going to be like Rodeo. You know, it's got the Austin vibe and the same sort of luxury goods, if that makes sense.
It does.
we are a sophisticated city, but we're just uniquely independent in the fact that we have such wonderful people here. And I think that's what makes us so great.
That's a wonderful note to end on, because our time is up. Thank you so much, okay. Catherine, for joining us. This was different and great.
No, thank you. I really appreciate you having me on.
Please join to our listeners and watchers. Please join us on Monday when Barron's Senior Managing Editor Lauren Rublin, Senior Writer Al Root, and CEO of Rocket Lab Peter Beck discuss how to invest in the new space race. Thank you for listening. Stay healthy and stay safe.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.